You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Friday, October 22nd. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Got some articles coming, some really in-depth articles. And if you listen to the show every day, you know we're doing report cards right now. We're going to continue on with that. Josh Donaldson and Anderson Simmons is moving along quickly. We got through the rotation. We'll get through the infield next week. We'll get through the outfield probably next week as well. Then we'll get into the bullpen, and that'll be it. You know, our report cards will be through, and it'll be November. It'll be the World Series will be over probably at that point, and we'll be ready to start our free agent profiles, our trade profiles, and our offseason primers at that point. At TwinsDaily.com, I have all these report cards coming out as well for each position group, starting rotation, infield, outfield, bullpen. You'll be able to read about it if you want to read more in depth about these grades as well. The guys I talk about and the grades that I give on the show, I put it into writing. It's coming out at TwinsDaily.com. And I would actually argue that our offseason coverage at TD, and I would say in some respects here, is much more creative. I think at times it's much more interesting to listen to, especially when the Twins are not good. I think it's really a time and an avenue for me to get creative and a way for me to think about all these possibilities and to take a step back. When you're in the middle of this 6 month season, it can get really, you get deep into it, and it's harder to take a step back because it's the everyday watching the games every day. They play every single day. Sometimes it's hard to take a step back and look at things from a broader point of view. We were actually forced to do that more this year for the Twins because they were so bad and because we're starting to ask ourselves, like, what does the future look like? But I think in the offseason, it gives you that ability. It gives you that opportunity to really step back and say, hey, what are we looking at here? You know, honestly, what are we looking at here? And I think I'm going to work through that this offseason. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you today that I think the Twins will contend next year. I'm not going to make a prediction that they'll contend next year. I'm an eternal optimist. I will always be optimistic about them. And, you know, by the time opening day comes, I'm sure I'll have talked myself into them winning the freaking pennant at that point. But right now, we have to see. It's wait and see mode. I think it's wait and see mode for the front office too in some ways. Like, let's see how the market shapes out a little bit. I've argued that they should get aggressive if the market starts on time, free agency starts on time with the CBA negotiations. Hopefully it does, you know, likely won't, but I hope it does. Whenever they're able to get aggressive, I've been very vocal about how important I think that is this offseason. But I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that I think this team is going to be good next year, even that this team will be competitive next year, even though there are a lot of really good players on the roster. And I think what makes this offseason so fascinating is there are legitimate avenues. And I know some people will disagree, and that's fine. Like, I can totally see your point of view thinking that they have no chance next year. Having to remake an entire starting rotation, you know, other than two rookies and Ober and Ryan, who barely have any innings under their belt. You know, you have a lot of question marks on the position player side. I could totally, the bullpen needs to be reshaped in some ways. Your best reliever is a question mark with a finger injury in Taylor Rogers. So if you thought and you think actively that the Twins will not compete next year and they have no chance of competing next year, I'm not going to necessarily say you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. But I can also see the viewpoint, and I'm going to go on the viewpoint that there are legitimate ways that they can get back into the conversation. And that's all we're looking for with how bad things were and how quickly things kind of crumbled, just to get back in the conversation, make a little noise. Sometimes it's really fun to be in the hunt. You know what I mean? Because now the Twins are not the hunted anymore. They were the hunted the last 2 years. Hunted in the division by the White Sox. Sometimes it's fun to be the hunter. But in order to be the hunter and to go after the White Sox in this division and go after Detroit, I think Detroit will be getting better. Kansas City will be getting better. I think it's, and Cleveland will always be there, you know, with their pitching pipeline. It's fun to be the hunter, but you can't be the hunter without supplementing. You need to be able to put together a stable. You know, you need to be able to put together a good enough group that can make noise. A great example, and Tom Froehlich wrote about the Giants and the Red Sox this year. Two teams not expected to contend in the way that they did. Red Sox finished, you know, projected to finish fourth in the East. I think Giants projected to finish third by a mile from the Dodgers and Padres. The Red Sox had the bullets offensively, and they made a couple signings. Kiki Hernandez, you know, Nick Pavetta's there, Nate Eovaldi's there. They had some guys already in-house that they gave themselves an opportunity to make that run. They gave themselves a chance, and that's all I'm asking for the Twins. I think that's all I'm looking for this offseason. Just give yourself a chance with the weapons to say there's a possibility here that this team really exceeds expectations in a way that they really were disappointing last year. Like in equal manner, they could exceed expectations in the same way that they completely flopped in 2021. But just put yourself in a position where you can make that run. If you're I think the Giants and Red Sox are slightly different, and I think Tom talked about this a little bit. But the Red Sox, to me, are a great comp to what the Twins can be next year. I totally agree with that. You got to put yourself in a position to do it. They have the position player talent to do it, but the Red Sox pitched so well at the beginning of the year, and then their offense did what their offense was supposed to do. And I think this offense has the ability to be elite, and it just they need to be. Like, they need to put themselves in a position also to maximize that, whether that's signing a big-time shortstop if they want to do that and giving themselves a chance, you know, keeping Byron Buxton, raising the ceiling of the team. I talk about that a lot. Keeping the ceiling high gives you an opportunity to reach that ceiling. And if you reach that ceiling, who knows what happens in October? And it can happen so quickly in both ways. Like, it can go from back-to-back division titles to last place in the worst division in baseball by a mile, like that. It can also go from you're in last place, you know, in 1990, and you come back and win the World Series in 1991. It can go really fast. The Red Sox were in last place last year, ended up making the playoffs, making a run, lost tonight to the Astros, which sucks, and a lot of people will say that they failed. But what an amazing year for them. And that's I just want the Twins to be in a position where they could make noise, something along the lines of making noise next year, if that makes sense. Let's talk about Josh Donaldson, who's super important to that for next year, and then Andrelton Simmons, and the possibility that he's back in 2022. Uh-oh, stick with me after the break. Slow is just right if you're on vacation, a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books. It sucks you in and slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now. Get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. That's netsuite.com/lockedon. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, raspberry, cherry, barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. Know what my favorite flavor is? The mint brownie. It is so delicious, and guess what? It's healthy. Check out the macros on the Built Bar flavor. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. You can order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that neat? Right now, you can go to built.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your very first listen. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Continuing our report cards here, Josh Donaldson. Expectations. I was a huge supporter of the Josh Donaldson signing. That entire offseason on Locked On Twins, 5 days a week, basically the Josh Donaldson sweepstakes show. talking every day at length about Josh Donaldson, where things were at in the negotiations, what I was hearing, what I was reading, what I was feeling at that time. And I was really confident and optimistic, actually, because you looked at the market and you thought, okay, you were just, it's kind of that musical chairs, but also like you're just crossing teams off. Like you could cross off a bunch of teams, and the Twins were actually in a position where they could get Josh Donaldson, and they did. Biggest free agent signing in Twins history. Year one was really disappointing. When he played in those 28 games, he was very good, but disappointing because he missed the playoffs. Like that's the biggest thing. He missed half the season in the playoffs in the shortened campaign with calf injuries. The other reason I will remind you that the Twins could sign Josh Donaldson is because he has a history of calf issues. Otherwise, he would have gotten a much bigger contract, would have priced himself out of the Twins' plans. So that's the risk you take. That's the risk they know they were taking. It's not something that they place an emphasis on. And actually, consensusly, I've been actually in support of that because I do think it gives them opportunity. Very similar to Byron Buxton's deal, and Aaron Gleeman wrote about this too, about Buxton's injury history gives the Twins a chance to sign him. If Buxton was never hurt, the Twins would have no chance to extend him. He's gone for sure. But because Buxton has an injury history, it gives the Twins a chance to get in on the bidding. That was the exact same for Josh Donaldson. My expectation for him this year, still 130 games. We'd just love to see him play 130, and he did. I expected him to hit like 260, 365 on base, slug 495, you know, OPS in the 830, 840 range, and a 4-5 win player with solid to, you know, above average to good defense at third, and to be a top three player on the team. If he gives you that line and he's not a top three player on the team, wow, the team must have been amazing. But top three player on the team in 2021, and I thought the fate of the team rested a lot on the health of Donaldson and the health of Byron Buxton. Pacoda projections had him hitting 239, you know, on base 359, slugging 447, 22 homers, 23 doubles. They were almost spot on with what he did. Like, really impressive. Almost dead on with his actual numbers. He was a little bit better OPS-wise, had 26 homers, 26 doubles. So actually was slightly better than they projected. But in terms of wins above replacement, very similar. And he's actually basically the same hitter he was in Atlanta in 2019. So when he's played, he's been what was hoped when he came. I will say, you know, what's really nice about Josh Donaldson is like huge power bat, doesn't sell out for power. Like he walks and he only struck out in 21% of his plate appearances this year, which is really nice. And I mentioned played in 135 games. I will say, though, along those lines, he started 0-18 this year with runners in scoring position and two outs. Two outs and runners in scoring position. 0-18 to start. So his win probability added was greatly impacted. He did finish top 10 among third basemen in the league in win probability added, and he finished fifth in weighted runs created plus. So he was a top five hitting third baseman this year. His WAR number was hurt by the defense, declining defense, you know, basically league average at third. He had to DH because of his legs and only put up 2.2 Fangraphs wins above replacement. So, you know, next year a big thing for him is how much is he going to play at third? How much can he play at third? Can he play at third enough and stay on the field? You know, that's a big thing, getting him off his feet. And he even mentioned like that's really important, getting him off his feet so he can stay healthy. But a lot of his value does lie in the defense at third. It's a big reason why the Twins signed him, moved Miguel Sano to first. It allowed their infield defense to get a whole lot better when they brought in Donaldson, and that's a big part of his value. Like if he's going to rake, that's fine. And if he's going to be healthy, like if he's your everyday DH, which he won't be next year, but if he was and he hit what he hit this year, like that's still a solid player. He's still, you know, probably a two-win player. He's still a three or four guy in your lineup. He's still going to do damage. And I think those runners in scoring position numbers will even out, because over a long haul, they will even out with your overall numbers. But Donaldson has long been known as someone who is elevated in those spots, if that's something that you believe in. Donaldson certainly fit that mold. But a big part of next year will be how much can he play at third? And how about a big part of next year, is he going to be on this team? A lot of questions about Donaldson. Will he be traded? Should he be traded? Should the Twins eat money, trade him, go get some starting pitching? You know, it's a tricky thing, because it does come down to that question of like contending next year. And I'm just such a Donaldson fan, and I was such a fan of the signing that I think I have to put my pride to the side and be like, okay, maybe the best thing for the team is to trade him. But that would just be so disappointing. I was hoping for so much more. And I think we all were. Like, it hasn't worked out that way. He was expected to be, I'm not saying he's been super disappointing, but what was expected in my head is like, you're adding this this player, this 4-5-6 win player to a team that already won 101 games? How often do you add the best player to a team that won 101 games? That was my biggest thing in 2019 and why I love that signing. But it just hasn't worked out for the team. The first year, he's out when the team is good. Second year, when he's in, the team sucks. So just there hasn't been a matchup there. Kind of like the Twins pitching and hitting this year a lot at the beginning of the year. They'd pitch well, they wouldn't hit. They'd hit well, they wouldn't pitch. Kind of like Donaldson and the Twins. I just want to see it line up. I want to see next year the Twins. I'm going to talk about that avenue to contention. He would be a huge part of that. And that's what I want to see for next year. A lot more coming on Donaldson this offseason. I'm sure there'll be rumors, and we'll break it down, the decision and what the Twins – The options the Twins have in front of them, how Jose Miranda fits into that and otherwise, and just the farm system in general. Speaking of the infield defense, improving infield defense with the signing of Josh Donaldson, Twins meant to do the same thing with the signing of Anderson Simmons. How did it work out? What grade would I give him? And I give Josh Donaldson a grade of a B. I apologize. I should have said that earlier. Grade of B for Josh Donaldson. My bad. Should have said it. B grade, Donaldson. Simmons, when we come back. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online is where the game starts. Again, brand new interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Whatever sport you're betting on, do it over at Bet Online. Bet Online, where the game starts. Expectations for Anderson Simmons, elite glove and an average bat. I think this is where a lot of Twins fans were tripped up when Simmons wasn't hitting and I was tweeting how he wasn't hitting and everyone was saying, oh my goodness, he can't hit. People were responding and saying, well, what did you expect? Well, here's what I expected. From 2017 to 2020, Anderson Simmons was basically a league average hitter, 98 OPS plus. That means he's 2% below the whole league average. That's what I expected with an elite glove and decent on base stuff, like 330 on base. And here's what Pecota projected of him. They projected him to hit 270, which is 57 points below what he actually hit. 47 points below what he actually hit. They projected his on-base percentage to be 324, which is 41 points below what it actually was. They expected him to slug 378 or projected him to slug 378. That was 104 points less than what he actually slugged. So wasn't even close to projections. So when people would say, like, what did you expect? Well, I expected this projected line, which is an average hitter. You know, slugging 378 is nothing to write home about, but he's an elite defender. Like, you can live with that. The problem with Simmons is you can't live with a 57 OPS plus from your shortstop in today's game. You just cannot. You can't live with a dude who's 43% below league average at short. I don't care how good his defense is. And, you know, his defense is, it's great, but it's not the best anymore. He was fourth in baseball among qualified shortstops, first in the American League. And so I will give it to him. He was good at shortstop this year by the numbers. He saved 14 runs at short. But he was negative in the wins above replacement category because he was such a black hole in the lineup. He was the Twins' worst hitter who got at least 450 plate appearances in the last 20 years since Christian Guzman in 1999, I believe, is the lower OPS in the last 21 years. So that puts it into perspective how bad he was. That was my thing all year. He's so bad offensively. I don't care if he's hitting ninth either. Like, he's a black hole. He gave them nothing this year. He hit 237, is a little bit better with runners in scoring position, slugged 301 with runners in scoring position. He was dead last in Major League Baseball in wins above or wins probability added, negative 3.22, minimum 100 plate appearances on that. So he was actually like the least clutch player in all of baseball. He was the worst in terms of like making a difference to a game. Like, if the bases were loaded, chances are Anderson Simmons is going to ground into a double play or strike out. And that was always something for me, like how slow he is too. And I'm not here to rip Anderson. Like, he is a generational defender. And you know what? I was wrong. I supported the signing. I thought he was going to be a really good addition for them. I actually really did support it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a brilliant signing, I will say at the time. I was dead wrong. It wasn't. If I'm the Twins, like, you just move on. And he's a free agent again. So glad it was a one-year deal. This is the time when you look back, you're like, oh, thank goodness they didn't sign Andrelton Simmons to, like, a three-year, $30 million deal or something like that. Like, I'm so grateful that he took that one-year deal as well to kind of build his value back up. But he really didn't at all. He's going to get a major league deal. I don't know if he'll start somewhere at short. But, geez, the bat was just so bad. It just kind of drowned everything else out. And when I say in today's game, shortstops are hitting better than second basemen now. And I think it used to be the perception, if you're a shortstop and you're an amazing defender, like, you can deal with a below average bat. You look at Martin Maldonado in the Astros, amazing catcher behind the plate, can't hit a lick. Like, he's Andrelton Simmons at the plate, basically, and a great defender behind home plate. I still think having a great catcher is more valuable than having a great shortstop, but, you know, in the same vein, catcher, shortstop, center field, up the middle. But if you have a shortstop these days, because guys are so athletic, because guys are coming to the league sticking at shortstop, getting stronger, getting better, becoming better offensively and defensively, you got to hit if you're a shortstop. I mean, almost every single contending team has a good hitting shortstop. Like, I'd like to hear one team in the playoffs that didn't have a shortstop who could hit. Maybe one or two, but you look at the American League, the Red Sox have Xander Bogaerts, the White Sox have Tim Anderson, the Astros have Carlos Correa, you know, the Rays have Wander Franco. Every team has a good shortstop. The Giants, Brandon Crawford had an amazing year. The Dodgers have Corey Seager, who's going to probably make $300 million in free agency. The Braves, you know, Dansby Swanson's decent. I guess he's probably the best one that you would point to and be like, okay, he's not a great hitter, but still some power. Like, he's still got power in his bat. Far and away what Andrelton Simmons will ever provide any team, I think, at this point. But it's really interesting, you know, going into this offseason, if they find their way back to Andrelton Simmons, I will be here to break it down. I'll be here to break down everything this offseason. My promise to you, there will not be a free agent or a trade of anyone who you haven't heard about on the show or won't be able to find an episode about on the show, but that won't restrict me. Of course, I'll talk about him after the Twins sign or trade for that player. Thanks so much. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Thanks again. Thank you for listening. Go Twins. We're getting through it. World Series right around the corner.